Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
The first circle, and what I would say that every couple needs to start with, is connection.
One of the gentlemen she was talking to every week said that her call is the only person that she talks to other than kind of medical professionals.
We have guys in Stockton, part of our team. We have a ministry team that goes around, just talks to people, knocks on doors, says hello. And the biggest thing they get response for is, can we pray for you?
Elevating the kingdom of God throughout Newcastle and the Hunter. This is Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
Hello, welcome to Kingdom Works Radio. It's my absolute honour and privilege today to be interviewing Amy and Scott Jacobs. You are going to love what they have to say. Incredible people in our city and incredible foster carers. We are focusing a little bit at the moment on foster caring and bringing some light to that area because it is such a growing need, unfortunately, where there are foster children who need placements around the city. So we are, and in fact around this nation, and we just want to bring attention to that and as Christians be able to pray into that and highlight the incredible work that some of our foster carers are already doing, but the need for more at the moment. So before we get started, I want to remind you, you can jump on kingdomworks.org.au, and I would encourage you to subscribe to our newsletter so you can find out all about what's going on around our region. But really today, we want to highlight this whole area of foster caring. Welcome, Amy and Scott. So good to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We have known each other for a very long time and great friends, and I'm just so privileged and proud of the things that these guys are doing in this area particularly. But guys, I want to ask you today, you have been foster caring for 3 years now, right? A little boy for 3 years amongst your already developed family. Tell me, what made you decide to become foster carers? What was it that?
I'll start this one. Look, it was probably came more from me than Scott, really, initially.
Yep.
I always thought that perhaps I would foster or adopt one day after having my own biological children. And when we waited until our kids were at a good age before we started looking into it properly. And when I started looking into adoption, I realized how much need was in the foster care system, and that actually adoption in this country is super hard and super long process. And we just felt more drawn, I suppose, to foster care and decided to sort of pursue that path instead.
Yeah, great. Scott, what about you? Did you weren't, were you not on board, or you just hadn't really thought about it before?
It was something that Amy definitely introduced to me, and not something that I'd thought a lot about of the ins and outs prior to that. But as I got more familiar with it, it became a real practical way of being able to display God's love, I guess, and being able, I'm a practical person.
Yep,
you are. I'm an active person. I like to be in there doing things, and it just over time became clear that we had the skills to be able to do this work, and it became a real calling in our family, in our marriage.
Yeah. You mentioned a couple of things there. You mentioned calling, and you mentioned you had the skills. Mm. So there might be people out there who are listening to this radio program, this and or watching today, and thinking, oh, well, what skills do you need to be a foster parent? Or, you know, what does it mean to be called? Do either of you have anything to speak into that space? Like, what does it mean to feel like you're called to foster care?
Yeah, well, for us, we have already been parents, so we had some experience in this current world of bringing up young boys in our case, and we are also lucky that Amy is a professional in this area.
Yep.
And has given therapy to kids in these kinds of needs, and so we therefore felt that we had the skills, and I guess that developed into a bit of a calling.
Yeah.
I think it's always felt like a bit of a calling to me.
Yep.
And Scott, just being a very supportive husband, was initially like, well, if that's what you want to do and if that's what you feel your calling is, then I'm here for it. Yeah, I'm gonna support it. So I think that was just, you know, the strength of our marriage at the time. Like, you know, he was able to really get on board to something that I felt was important for us to sort of pursue. And I mean, look, you know, yes, I work in pediatrics now, but at the time when we were initially looking at this, I wasn't working with kids right then and there. But I think, I mean, I had a therapeutic kind of mindset because of my job. So, you know, that has been helpful, but not, you know, you don't need to be a professional to be able to do this work.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. There's that calling, that's the most important thing. So when you were both on board and saying, yes, we as a family, and your boys were on board with this as well, like when you started to talk to them, deciding as a family, we are going to put our parenting skills, maybe our professional skills, but more importantly, the desire that God's placed on your heart into practice. Like, what is it that we can actually bring to the life of a young person who's in need? How can we do that? And then you've just jumped in and said, yep, let's go with this, knowing that God's going to be with you in that journey, right? When you say, obviously, it's not always going to be easy bringing a child into your home that's had other things happen in their world and experienced things that unfortunately many children do experience that we wish they didn't experience already at an early age. Tell me, what was that like? How does that impact your family, and how do you manage that?
Yeah. Look, it has been very challenging at different points sort of along. And I mean, you can be as prepared, you know, you think that you're prepared and you think you sort of know what you're getting into, but you can't ever really know until you do it. Like, you can do your best to be prepared, but you've just got to jump in at some point. And look, it initially it was really tough.
Yeah.
Mind you, we were coming out of COVID and there was other things that impacted that period of time as well. But it's a bit of a shock to the system. It really will shake up your family and your family life. And, you know, you're really inviting into your life and your family a whole lot of stuff that wasn't there before.
Yes, right.
A whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it won't just be
that you're then exposed to.
Yeah, it won't just be the things that that the young person brings into your home. It's also going to be the like family things that perhaps are going on for that child, and there'd be new emotions for your own children and yourselves. Like, so those sorts of things. How do you manage that as a family? Like, how do you make sure that you are looking after yourselves and making sure that you're not getting too overwhelmed if you feel like that when you're in this situation?
Do you want to answer that?
Well, what we found early on was that this little boy was seeking connection.
He
just needed connection, and he would try to find that with whoever was around him, which is obviously us and our boys. And so he would really demand our attention. He'd demand our time. And, you know, early on, we were just doing everything to give him that connection that he needed.
Yep.
And that was very important. And we could see the benefits in him. But that sort of also had its negatives for our family. And we weren't giving attention to other places that we needed. And we needed to be very conscious of making sure our boys still got the time and the connection from us that they needed. So there was an adjustment phase, and we had to be very aware of that and really work hard on that. And so, you know, there's practical, deliberate strategies of making sure that our boys are still involved in all the activities that they love and want to do, and we ensure that we have time to be able to do that. Practically, we're able to actually have a support person come in once a week.
Yeah,
actually,
great.
On the weekends is when we really need that for weekend sports, and we're able to go off and do that with our boys and 100% focus on them in that time. And then, you know, at the time where we're all there together, just ensuring that everyone is given equal attention and we can really focus on everyone's needs, which has to be quite more deliberate than it was prior to having the little man in our world. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we had to, initially we had to do things like, it got to the point where it was like, all right, you're on for 2 hours while I spend some time with the other boys, and then we would swap, and we still really rely on grandparents and, you know, really like key people in our life, like neighbors and wonderful people to help kind of just share the load.
Yeah, so mentioning that, you a few things. One, you need to make sure that you're willing to not just invite a young person into your home, but actually support that young person in whatever, or that child in whatever they need. So finding people who can support you, very important, but also being willing to do the work that's required to support that child as well. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? What does support look like? How can we, the church, the community, how can we better support not just you, but foster carers in our city who are doing this work?
Yeah. Look, you know, and I really feel strongly that unfortunately it's not enough to just provide a safe and loving home. I wish it was sort of that simple. Like, and I mean, and all children that come into care, they all have different level of needs. But certainly in my experience, you know, it's yes, they need the stability and the love and the acceptance, but really carers need to be willing to learn about childhood development. You know, you've got to be willing to learn about how trauma affects a child in that early development. So, and then that means then that we've got to, as carers, be willing to turn up to therapy, to implement the strategies to really give that child what they need. Because unfortunately, like, they're thrust into your world, but it takes a lot more to really get the healing and the progress that we want to see.
Yeah. What about practical support from people in your world? There might be people who are looking, I know foster carers, or maybe they're unable to be a foster carer at the moment, or that's not something they feel called to, but they know that they could support other people. What does that practically look like?
One way could be, like, if you're interested in foster care but you don't want to become a full-time foster carer, sometimes becoming a respite carer is life-changing for people like us.
Mm.
And you can actually, if you know a family that's doing it, you can actually become a respite carer for a particular family or a particular child.
Yep.
So that's one way that you can support foster carers. But I know for me personally, like, there's been some really low points, and I would not have gotten through that without some very key friends in my life, yourself included. you know, what my neighbor has just been so amazing to me. She's really pulled me through. Grandparents. Like, just our church community, our local community.
Yes.
Like, it really has taken the whole village to pull us through some of those really challenging points. So, like, my neighbor's a good example of how she supported us, because sometimes it's been very practical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember the first Christmas that we had, things were not going well. And I had people turning up to my house for Christmas Day.
Yep.
And it got to Christmas Eve and I, like, was having a breakdown because I had no dessert to serve or something. And she just went and made me this big pavlova and delivered everything I needed to serve to, like, dessert on Christmas Day. So sometimes she's been really practical like that. And other times it's been, I'm just going to take him for a while and give you a few hours.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been everything, really.
A lot of these kids really need a lot of miracles in their world. They either need the therapy to develop them, or they They need that connection to grow. And so parents need a lot of patience in these areas. Yep. And for us, that
we're
only
all asking for that, right?
Yeah, that only comes through prayer and being deliberate about those things. And so just getting prayer from the network around us has been huge. Yep. And knowing that there's people that understand where we're at and standing with us and can pray with us about what we're going through and what's needed for his future and the miracles that are needed in his little world. Yeah. So that power of prayer is very powerful.
Yeah. You know what? There are so many people in our city who are currently foster caring. There are so many young people who need foster carers, and maybe you are listening today and it's something that you have thought about before. It's an area that you feel stirred to pray more about or to support our current foster carers. And I would just encourage you today to ask God, what is it that he is saying to you about this whole area? We celebrate Amy and Scott Jacobs today and the incredible work you're doing with your little boy, but also your whole family. And the work that they are doing is life-changing for this young person who will have such an incredible future because of the investment that you guys are making. And so thank you for doing that. And for all of you listening out there, please be praying for our foster carers. Please be asking God, what is it that you can do to support this network? And if God is telling you to put your hand to being a foster carer, then please reach out. We will have some links on our website for you to be able to go to as well. Amy and Scott, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an absolute honor and pleasure to speak with you. We look forward to seeing all the great things that you guys are going to do in the future in this space. It's been an honor.
This has been Kingdom Works on Rema FM.